four, three.
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of the WorkingMusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your host.
Stop.
Doing no camera.
Hold on. I'll give you five now.
Restart five.
Five, four, three.
Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of the WorkingMusician.com. My name is Roger Z. I'm your host, and I just had a flashback to when I was like 13 or 14 years old, and we just got color TV, and Channel 47, where I live, they had a discotheque show, and they had all local bands on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, discotheques used to be where rock and roll bands played.
Right. Zacherly was the host of this. You guys remember Zacherly? But he was a host of Chiller Theater.
So
I mean, to me, this is kind of going back to my youth, except we're all the dancing girls and dancing boys.
Right, exactly.
They're not in here. We just got camera people.
Right. We don't dance.
Anyway, my host. No, I'm the host. My guest today.
Okay.
Petey Hopp from Petey Hopp and the Blue Tones, Petey Hopp and the Wallbangers, Petey Hopp solo, Petey Hopp duo. Mm-hmm. We got JJ on the drums. We got Bob on the bass.
Yep.
And what's great about this combination is we've all worked together. Mm-hmm. Never all at the same time. Mm-hmm. But we've done a lot of work together. I think you're one of the first guys I met when I moved from New Jersey up to here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I see a lot of people that played in Jersey who still live in Jersey who play up here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you play so many styles of music.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Talk to me about the different styles you play.
Well, I mean, I enjoy to listen to a lot of different types of music and play it. You know, I mean, some better than others. I mean, I consider myself a roots guy. Contained in that would be blues, country, early rock and roll, and that kind of stuff, folk. You know, I really like those styles, but I dabble in some jazz, and I do know a couple of classical pieces and things like that. You know, I have, as they say, big ears. I really like to listen to a lot of different kind of music, and you know, when I studied at the Blitzkrieg Musicians Institute in California. They really tried to make you a working musician, so, you know, you had to learn a lot of different stuff. You had to be able to read charts, do casuals, gigs, and do all kinds of stuff so that you could make a living playing music, you know.
So if you moved to, like, Ohio, could you play in a polka band?
I could if I had to, I suppose. Yes, I suppose I could. I never have.
Okay. So, I mean, did you study polka? Is that one of the
things? Polka, I did not. I did not study polka, but I used to work in a nursing home for about 10 years. And
I remember that.
I knew a couple of polkas. I sniffed a beer barrel and all that and redhead polka, I think. But, yeah. It's not rocket science, folk music, so I don't even insult Jimmy Stir or anybody else, but I think I could pick it up.
What's the Creole music from Louisiana?
It was Cajun music and that kind of Zydeco.
Zydeco, I love playing Zydeco.
I played a little bit of that, yeah, not a lot. You know, it's similar forms to all the other roots music, the blues and the country. You know, Zydeco is probably a really good cross between the blues and the country because it has more like the 8-bar forms and the different forms that country would have as opposed to blues being 12 and 16 and that kind of thing. And it's a nice mix, you know, it's a nice mix of that, you know.
Well, you're also a bass player?
I have played bass, yeah, played for a couple of years pretty solid just to make extra money, and it gave me a great insight into what I wanted in my songs and also how to communicate with the bass player what I needed from him, you know. So, and how not to overplay as a guitar player because, you know, you hear it from a different perspective, definitely. You try to anyway.
One of the things I like about Bob, I was watching him during our last show, Bob doesn't overplay.
No, definitely not.
Bob,
he's a rock.
What I love about Bob, he fits the template of the old school bass player.
Right.
He's tall. he plays a 4-string bass. He plays simply. He sings really high. And I love it when he's going for that note and it's. And he's just straining to get that high, Neil Young.
Well, you know what's great about a bass player like Bob, we played together for at least, 12 years?
Yeah, probably it's been
more.
A while, man.
Yep. He's like 15. And, you know, is that he understands that, you know, your bass line has to be an important part of the song. You know, there are players that, you know, we all know in the local scene who have great facility and are monster players, but they forget the context of the song at times. And I think that you're always serving the song. Yes, there are parts in the song that have jams and things, but generally you want to be supporting that structure, that song, and making that the star of the show more than anything, you know.
Yeah, that's something that's what separates the wheat from the chaff.
Right.
My regular bass player John Zanella, he mm-hmm. says I try to take a song mm-hmm. and I try to break it down to mm-hmm. the essential pieces. Mm-hmm. What are the notes that define the song? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. those are what I play. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'll embellish a little bit.
That's a good philosophy to start from anyway, you know, then from there you can't go wrong with the elements, you know. It's basically where it all comes from. So, you know, it's nice to know what embellishments create what sounds and things like that. And Bob's got a pretty good understanding of music, and he knows what sound he wants and what the chords are. He knows how to play what right notes and things.
You know,
as does JJ. I mean, she's got a great feel, and she knows the different styles as well, and knows how to play what feel for what song and not overplay it as well. But, you know, when I give her a solo, she uncorks it and lays it out there too. So, you know.
Now, I still have clubs that still ask, Where's JJ?
Yeah.
Really? Cool.
Oh, yeah. But,
Yeah, you owe your bartender.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but the thing about JJ is that you have a beat, a feel that is completely distinctive. Mm-hmm. I could hear a record with you on it and I would know it's you.
Wow, thank you.
So, that's
style.
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's like you hear Carlos Santana.
Mm-hmm. One note.
Right, but I mean, it's a double-edged sword, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. Carlos would never be a big session player,
no.
because he sounds too much like Carlos.
Right, exactly.
So, anyway, so you got some tunes for us today?
Yeah, I figured I'd do a couple of different tunes. The last one we did more like a straight-ahead kind of rock tunes, or pop kind of rock, or country rock, whatever you want to look at. These are going to be more blues-influenced, because as you know, I've been playing blues in the era for a long time. And I wanted to do some more songs like that that would accentuate that style. So.
Okay, cool. So watch out, Bob.
Yes, sir.
I'm coming through. So, you know what? Let me come behind you.
You don't need that one alone, too.
There we go.
First song, this one's going to be Why Should I Complain?
There's my piece.
A little jazzy, bluesy down.
There you go.
Thank you.
out all night.
JJ did all the songs with brushes.
Yeah, yeah, I'm a professional. Yeah. I've actually had drummers where they were really loud, and as a present, I would get them a set of brushes. not too subtle of a hint, but you'd be surprised how many of them you still never saw those brushes. They just disappear.
Now, there's a middle thing, too. They have those things that are like tiny little sticks.
Hit sticks. Blast sticks, you call them, right, JJ?
Hit sticks. I usually call them hit sticks.
Like bundles.
Right. So that's halfway in between the two?
Yeah. You get different sounds, different colors.
It sounded very nice, man.
Thank you.
It sounded... Do you ever get the urge to, like, get these tunes and climb into a van with three stinky people and track around?
Yes,
America?
No. Hello?
Yes,
not
yes.
Even you guys.
Yeah.
Not implying you, JJ, but
not
I'll cover.
Sure.
I mean, come on. I mean, you know, you get in the van, it's 98 degrees, no air conditioning, no windows.
Yes and no. I mean, the idea, the allure of playing your music for people who have never heard it and things like that, yeah, I mean, they would be, that's a great lure. But, you know, in the same respect, I mean, it's a hard life. I mean, you know, and being as a musician, even at this local level where you're pretty much home every night, that's still a hard life as is. And like I said, I've done enough touring to know that unless you're really going to do it because you really love the music or you're making a lot of money. And I love the music, but, you know, I ain't making a lot of money doing it. Not. I don't think anyone's going to pay me that money to go on the road. But my goal now is to get these songs recorded and get other people to record them so I can get mailbox money. Basically get other people, maybe larger artists, to cover them so I can, you know, get a career as a songwriter. You know, I can play local gigs and teach and then get some income coming in like that. Or get them placed in television and film, which is a lot more, you know, applicable now because there's a lot more cable channels that need music and things like that. So.
Sure. I mean, that is the upside of technology, right, is now that the cable shows are mm-hmm. doing all their own movies mm-hmm. and all their own shows,
right,
there is more need for music. Mm-hmm. What kind of music, I don't know. Maybe mm-hmm. a guy playing a synthesizer directly into a computer.
Sure, but there's all kinds, even just solo acoustic guitar, even rock songs. You never know. There's all kinds of stuff. You know, that's my goal, one of my goals, anyway.
Well, something fantastic recently happened to me. I've had cable for years mm-hmm. since I moved to Westchester, but I got rid of my cable box because, you know, they were charging me for the cable box. I didn't have HBO, mm-hmm. so it wasn't doing me any good.
Right.
But now I got that 3-in-1 deal, mm-hmm. you know.
Triple play.
And so I had to get a cable box.
Right.
I had to get three of them. And they're like, I'm not going to go into it because they'll probably yank my show.
Right.
But anyway, the point is I didn't realize with the cable box, there's still all these free channels that I wasn't getting without the cable box. There's around 50 music channels, like around 800 up there.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite is I get like the country version of MTV.
Mm-hmm.
And I
CMT
just,
is it?
Yeah, but CMT has gone the route
of like MTV.
Of MTV, except it's even worse because
more reality
it's
than
it's not
music.
Pimp Your Truck. It's
right.
It's like oh the country
find
version.
Your teeth.
Find your cribs.
It's trailers.
But they have another station called GAC, Great American Country, which actually, you know, they do countdowns. And for me, rock and roll has always been an issue because most rock singers have higher voices than me.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always been really hard for me to
cover a lot of that. Yeah,
well, I can cover it, I just don't do them in the right key.
Right.
And then you have people go, well, if you don't do it in the right key, it's not the same song.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling is I have to sound good doing it, but the thing is, I've been watching country music, and there they love guys.
Baritone voices.
Mm-hmm.
They love the guys. The women go.
Thanks to Johnny Cash, thank you. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there's Trace Adkins.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of guys who do it. So it's really been fantastic for me. And actually, it's funny because I play a lot up in Pauling, and up there, like the jukebox is half heavy metal
and half country.
And half country.
New country, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, new country. But, you know, I like new country. For me, a lot of the new country is really old rock.
Well, I read somewhere, somebody said it, they said that new country is basically just recycling Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Well, Lynyrd Skynyrd, the Eagles.
Right. I mean, it's basically they're trying to get that 70s, 80s rock sound into country. And to me, I mean, it's kind of neither nor now. It's not rock and roll, it's not country. There's some decent songs, but there's some really corny stuff that's coming out. And it's like, it's just too formulated, it's too overproduced. I always went for the alt-country type stuff, because I just thought it was more true to the country, and it's just more organic and more rootsy. I'd rather hear that. You know.
Well, I got to disagree with you. I was watching the station. I heard this woman, I don't know where she's from, but like real deep south, and she's got a hit with Sunday Morning by the Velvet Underground.
Mm, which is very rare.
I'm hearing her sing this song in like
a country
drawl.
Yeah. Cool.
And I'm going, wait a second, it sounds familiar. Sunday.
Yeah, but that's certainly the exception. It's not the rule. That's a rare exception, I bet. You know, I would think.
Well, I find it interesting. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, morphing right into my second can question,
mm-hmm.
even though people watching this show didn't hear the first one.
Right.
But the second can question, which is a chance for you to show your influences,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to guide you on this one a little bit. The question is, who living or dead would you put in your dream band or bands? Mm-hmm. For me, playing bass with The Doors, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that would have been something. Mm-hmm. Maybe playing bass with Led Zeppelin when their bass player was playing
keyboards
or...
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a ton of bands throughout history that I would like to have been a part of, you know, anything from, you know, the Drifting Cowboy Band of Hank Williams to Johnny Cash's band to, you know, one of B.B. King's bands, you know, T-Bone Walker, tons of bands throughout history.
But put together your own band, like it's Petey Hop, it's tribute to Petey Hop at the Garden, like you were Bob Dylan or George Harrison, and you're going to do like three sets and you can put different players together, bring different people. Who would you bring up?
I'd have to say that it'd have to be a rotating list. It'd have to be a couple of different drummers for sure. I'd have to have someone like, you know, Keith Moon. I loved him, John Bonham. Some of the great rock and roll band guitar players are still alive. Clapton or a Beck or a Page or something like that. You know, tons of blues guitar players, Magic Sam, Freddie King, B.B. Albert, T-Bone, some of the great country guitar players, Jimmy Bryant, you know, Roy Nichols and those kind of guys, Don Rich, just too many people to mention, God. I mean, I'd love to play, you know, there would be different segments, you know.
Sure.
Probably James Jamerson, Paul McCartney, and definitely John Entwistle, John Paul Jones, him as well.
So you're a big Who and Zeppelin fan, huh?
Yeah, well, just they keep popping in my head, but, you know, even like George Porter from the Meters, you know, those guys, I love all that stuff. It's just so many, man. Yeah, I couldn't even... You know, Ron Carter, Joe Jones. I mean, it would never end, you know.
Cool. Yeah. To future guests of my show, the way he answered that question, just spewing out musicians, that's the way to go. Thank you. Didn't have to pull it out. Didn't have to grab it out.
No.
Yeah, so, I mean, that would be fun. I mean,
sure.
You know, I have this Van Morrison album where he's doing Gloria with John Lee Hooker.
Yeah, I've heard that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty weird, because I don't think John Lee knows what he was doing.
Right.
But he just made it up on the spot, and it sounded great. But he just pulled people in and out the whole night.
Right. Yeah, that'd be funny. Like, even if he plays like a duo with someone like a Robert Johnson or a Charlie Patton, as they used to do, like Charlie Patton and Son House, if they could be one of those guys in that duo, would be pretty cool. You know, something like that, you know.
Wow.
You know, that would be fun, or to back Jimmy Rogers up back in the day, you know, the singing Brakeman or something like that. You know, there's just so many incarnations of, you know, to fill Freddie Green's chair and Count Basie's band and just chuck chords for, you know, Four to the Bar would be a blast, you know. You know, to be jamming at Minton's Playhouse with, like, you know, Charlie Christian and those guys, that would have been, you know.
Yeah, I read an interesting article from CMT.com. thestation.com, and they were basically saying that a lot of the big artists now are putting together kind of like American Idol things of their own, because they fear for the next generation of country, because a lot of the country fairs, a lot of the clubs have all disappeared. So they're trying to do something to help people, you know. But there is one positive of what's going on now, and what's positive is anybody can buy a Mac,
recording software, and create your own music.
And create your own music. Mm-hmm. I mean, in a way, it killed the studio musician business, because I know a lot of guys who used to make money playing demos.
Sure.
But now, with a little technology, and kids today, I mean, you know, for them, the computers and the cell phones.
What's great about it is that two things have happened. I mean, the record industry basically killed itself by just screwing artists for years so that they don't want to deal with them. Now the recording software is such that, you know, as an artist, you don't get what's called demo-itis, as you probably know what that is. Years ago, people do a home recording, get a great demo, and lose it in the studio because it's not the same recording setup, it's not the same players. Now with a Pro Tools setup, you could do it at home. You could just dump that in a larger setup, at a larger studio, and you still have that, and then you can just embellish upon that. You know, and I think in some ways it's gotten back to, years ago there used to be great regional scenes, like you had the Motown, you had the Stax, all these things happening very independent of each other. And it's kind of getting back to that again, because, you know, it seems that, you know, that the mainstream has become quite, you know, almost whitewashed, but just the same kind of homogenized music that is kind of just mass marketed, and people are kind of getting away from that and finding the alternative, you know.
I read this really interesting article about jazz guitarists, and jazz is becoming a world music now.
By so schools many influences, like Latin.
Right, but they're bringing people from Italy, from different African nations, and they're putting their own two cents in.
That's right.
And it's reinvigorating the music.
Yeah, which is beautiful.
Yeah, so Pete, it was a pleasure to have you on
the
show.
I do appreciate it. You're doing a great service for musicians here, local people like myself.
And I hope you take your songs, you cut them up and you put them on YouTube, put them on your website.
Absolutely.
All right, see you next time.
Thank you very much. Thanks.
We up.
Thank you, guys.
You too.